In 1979, Barbara Mandrell sang that she was country when country wasn't cool. The church can say the same thing to America about Thanksgiving. We were thankful before being thankful one day a year was the thing to do. Thanksgiving started in 1621 when the pilgrims had their first bountiful harvest after the Indians had taught them how to plant corn. No lasting holiday came from this. In October 1977, Thanksgiving was first celebrated by all 13 colonies. But this too was a one-time thing. In 1789, President Washington proclaimed the first National Day of Thanksgiving. This continued through his presidency and that of Adams. But Jefferson opposed the practice, so it ceased. In 1827, a ladies' magazine editor by the name of Sarah Hale began a one-woman crusade for the fourth Thursday in November to be set aside for Thanksgiving. She made her last plea for this in 1863, just weeks after Gettysburg. Although many had died in that battle, it was a victory for the North, and so the people in the North were grateful. This and Hale's editorial prompted Lincoln on October 3rd, 1863 to set aside the fourth Thursday in November for a day of thanks. So our holiday was born. Only one time has anyone dared to tamper with it. In 1939, bowing to pressure from merchants for more shopping days before Christmas, Roosevelt moved Thanksgiving back one week. Millions protested by not changing. The protests grew in 1940. In the spring of 1941, Roosevelt admitted he had erred and restored the holiday to the fourth Thursday. I tell you this history so you might see that Thanksgiving is a thoroughly American holiday and that the church doesn't need it. We were thankful even when thankful wasn't cool. Look at our liturgy. Already in the second century, communion was called the Eucharist, which is Greek for thanksgiving. Since the fourth century, the church has sung in the Gloria in Excelsis, "We give thanks to thee." The communion liturgy since 120 AD has begun with the pastor saying, "It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should give thanks." The last part of the communion liturgy is titled what? The Thanksgiving. It starts with the pastor saying, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." The post-communion collects, dating to 1526 on the one hand and the 1200s on the other, say either, "We give thanks to thee," or "We thank thee." And how do you respond when the elder says every Sunday, "Bless we the Lord, thanks be to God"? Pause for a second and remember under what circumstances the church has been thankful over all the centuries when there was no Thanksgiving holiday. The church was singing her Gloria in Excelsis and celebrating her weekly sacrament of Thanksgiving in the 18th century when in London 59% of all children died before the age of 5 and 64% were dead before they reached 10. Pastors have said, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord during the midst of famine, persecution, and disease, the likes of which modern America has yet to know." The church has entered her worship services with the people saying, "Thanks be to God," even when their cupboards were bare, funeral wreaths hung on their doors, and when a man of 50 was considered old. Take Pastor Martin Rinker, a Lutheran minister who lived in Germany through a war lasting 30 years. His own city was sacked 3 times during that time. In addition to these violent attacks by soldiers, his city was attacked by the plague. 8,000 of his fellow citizens died from the plague. In the midst of these calamities, Rinker wrote the hymn we began with, "Now thank we all our God." Where did thanksgiving come from in such conditions? Not from what Rinkert saw, but from the things he did not see. He focused on those eternal things that never change, rather than on the temporal things that always do. He focused on the spiritual things which remained his, regardless of how few or how many physical things did. Likewise, when the church sings glory in excelsis, she gives thanks not for food and clothes, not for house or home, but for the great glory of God. And after communion, the pastor calls the church to give thanks unto the Lord, not because they have their health, not because their country has peace, or because their bills are all paid, but because the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. In the post-communion colics, the church does not give thanks for the visible, temporal, material blessings she may have. No, she gives thanks for being refreshed with this body and blood of Christ, for being given pardon and peace in this sacrament. Come what may, sickness, disaster, death, trials, afflictions, wars, these gifts from God are always hers, are always yours. We were thankful when thankful wasn't cool. We were thankful long before there was an official day set aside by the government for giving of thanks to God. So the church doesn't need this day, but we can use it. 2 Timothy 3 verse 2 identifies ingratitude as one of the marks of the last days. Therefore, there's no harm in coming together once a year for a special day of thanks. It gives us the opportunity to train our children in this important grace. Even Luther, who always thanked God more for spiritual than for temporal things, even Luther said, the best way to lift the mind up to God is to acknowledge and ponder past blessings. The total sinking of the mind away from God down to hell consists in forgetting or failing to take note of goods received. That's what Thanksgiving Day can do for you. It can be like signing for a package. Signing for the package acknowledges that you actually received it. So we sign today for all the blessings that we received from God this past year, such as health, wealth, weather, food, drink, clothes, etc. But there's a tension. What if you signed for a package delivered by the UPS man and you thanked him as if he had sent it to you? Now that can happen at Thanksgiving. We're so thankful for our blessings that we forget these are only the delivery men for the God who actually blesses us. The sender is much more important than the delivery man he chooses to use. Thanksgiving can help us make a distinction between God the sender and the gifts that he sends. God the sender is to be trusted in, hoped in, and thanked. The gifts are not to be trusted in, not to be hoped in, and not to be thanked. The gifts are visible, material, and temporal, and that means they change. The sender is invisible, spiritual, and eternal, and therefore, he does not change. Thanksgiving is an opportunity to praise and thank the God who changes not. Sometimes he sends abundance, and other times he sends scarcity. But always he sends out of love, mercy, and grace toward fallen men for Christ's sake. Thanksgiving is an opportunity to make a distinction between God the sender, who never changes, and his gifts, which are always changing according to his merciful will. The gifts God sends belong in our hands, not in our hearts. Only God belongs in our hearts. St. Augustine said it this way, it's reversing God's order to love the things God sends instead of loving the God who sends them. The only proper thing for man to enjoy is God. Every created thing is meant to be used, not enjoyed in and of itself. Thanksgiving can call us to repent of using God and finding our joy in his gifts. It can return us to the important truth that God alone is worthy to be enjoyed, praised, and thanked. The church can use Thanksgiving. Actually, how could we refuse to use it? When our government says, be thankful, how can we who know the true God respond, no thanks? Even though we gather for a Eucharist, a Thanksgiving every single Sunday, even though our prayers throughout the year are flooded with thanks, still we can say to the world, still we cannot say to the world that we have no reason to say a special thank you. Besides, we can use this day to teach the world about true thanksgiving. We do that by gathering in thanks as the church did long before us, even when it hasn't been a good year. Christians who experienced hurricanes, droughts, and tornadoes in 2005, they're gathering today to thank God. Christians who suffered the ravages of disease and death in 2005 are still singing, now thank we all our God. Christians who this very moment are going through trials having no idea how they're ever going to turn out, they still lift their hearts to God in thanks today. By gathering in thanks in all circumstances, we say exactly what the prophet Habakkuk did at the close of his book. He says, and I quote, even if the fig tree does not blossom and the vines have no grapes, even if the olive tree fails to produce and the fields yield no food, even if the sheep pen is empty and the stalls have no cattle, even then I will be happy with the Lord. I will find true joy in God who saves me. There's another more radical thing we can teach the world about thanks. And that is that the true God isn't gracious to people because they're thankful to him. God isn't made gracious by us giving thanks. No, it's because we know God is gracious to us in Christ that we are moved to give him thanks. If we think we need to be thankful to God or he's going to withhold his blessings from us, if we think that our thanks makes God send us more gifts, then we're living under the law. Then we'll always have to wonder if we're thankful enough. And you can't really be thankful at all if you're worrying about being thankful enough. If you think God is gracious to you, gives you gifts based on how well, how much, how often you give him thanks, then you really don't know the true God. The true God is so gracious that he dumps his gifts even on the ungrateful, the sinful, and the downright wicked without ever waiting to be thanked. 9 out of 10 lepers didn't give thanks, yet they were still healed. Daily God shines his sun on those who worship false gods and live wickedly. Daily he sends his rain on those who believe the goddess nature is the one giving them rain. Daily he gives life, breath, and health to billions who turn up their nose at his sun. Our God is good and merciful. We do not make him that way by our gratitude. The church rejoices in this every Sunday as she sings in the liturgy, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. God just keeps on giving. He keeps on opening his hands and satisfying the desires of every living thing. And he doesn't do that to be thanked. He does it for the sake of fallen humanity, whom he loved enough to give up his son for. The church knows this and has been saying thanks centuries before there was a Thanksgiving holiday, and she's going to continue to say thanks in the mansions of eternity long after there ceases to be a Thanksgiving day. But though we were thankful when Thanksgiving was not cool, and though it will continue to be long after it's not, still we're not too cool to be thankful today. Amen. We stand and sing the offertory.